Special Operations, Covert Ops, Espionage, The Team House, with your hosts, Jack Murphy and David Park.
Hey folks, welcome to our New Year's edition of The Team House, our New Year's message that we did one of these last year. And we're going to do another one this year, just kind of doing a year of review and talking about the episodes that came out over 2021 and kind of where we're going into the future and what we have planned for 2022. I think in 2021 was really a year of expansion for us. 2020 was really just trying to establish ourselves and kind of what we do and what we're all about. And then this last year has been kind of expanding outwards and really building the team house, increasing the quality, like the technical quality of the show was really important. And I think it increased tremendously. We brought Dion to produce. So many little things that made a big difference in the show. And then just making sure that we were bringing you more of what you wanted. And I did a little bit of statistics here to share with you as far as the guests who we had on the show in 2021. And some of the guests are counted twice because they did more than one thing while they were in their military service or governmental service. So over the last year, we had one guest who served in JTF2, Canada's counterterrorism unit.
He was very polite, by the way.
We had 6 U.S. Special Forces veterans mm-hmm. on the show. We had one gentleman who served in MACV SOG, Studies and Observations Group, in Vietnam. We had 2 who served in the Special Air Service. We had 2 guests who served in Army Counterintelligence. We had 1 guest who served in Denmark's Sirius Patrol. We had 4 guests who worked as mercenaries during their colorful careers. We had 1 guest who served in the Regimental Reconnaissance Detachment. That was something you guys kept asking me for. Have an RRD guy on. We did it. Actually, we had him on the show twice. We had 5 Rangers on the show. We had 1 ground branch guy. We had 3 former FBI agents. We've had 5 journalists on the show, 1 SEAL Team 6 guy, 1 Secret Service member, 10 CIA officers, 1 member of the Diplomatic Security Service, 2 JSOC operators, 1 person who did cyber special reconnaissance in support of JSOC. We had 1 JTAC, 1 FSB defector, 3 guys who served in the conventional forces, 1 person who served in the Coast Guard, and 1 Apache pilot. So I think we covered quite a bit of ground in 2021.
We get it done.
Yeah.
So also, the 31st, the Friday, like this show is legitimately on New Year's Eve. So if you're watching this show right now, get a fucking life.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. But thank you so much for joining us. It's funny because people now, we're at the point now, our channel, where people with smaller podcasts and smaller channels are asking us, like, how do you guys make a successful podcast? And it's like, you just keep talking. And honestly, thank you. From our humble beginnings, when really, Patreon supporters, before ad revenue, before anything else, when Patreon supporters were helping us keep the lights on, you guys have been incredible, and we want to keep bringing you the content that we have and allowing people. I love like all the different people that we've had on, and a lot of them, one of the comments we get a lot from people when we invite them on the show is, Well, you guys have had some legends on that show. Like, I was just an analyst or just this or just this. I don't have those kinds of stories. And we're like, that's not what we love war stories.
But we want to capture the other stories.
Yeah, also. But we're not hung up on just war stories. We want to tell everybody's story. Everybody who had a different type of experience or who was part of some sort of history, we want to give them the opportunity. We want, you know, this is like living history for us now.
And I think when you have that sort of like diversity of guests in their professional backgrounds, it tells this much larger story and gives this much larger insight into what is otherwise a hidden, if not clandestine and covert world, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of the stories our guests tell, they intersect with one another. They overlap with
right,
one another.
Right, and there are a lot of unsung heroes out there who, you know, may not have been shot at or ever, you know, pulled a trigger on a gun, but who were every bit as vital in, you know, these parts of history, but we would never hear their stories.
Yeah, and no, absolutely, Dave. And I would just like to reiterate what Dave said, that, you know, I really appreciate all of you guys supporting the show, and it really was the Patreon supporters who jumped in and kept this show running and helped it actually grow during a pandemic of
right.
all things. So, I mean, it was really cool, and it really is a viewer-supported show.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah, and even if you're not part of our Patreon, first off, what's wrong with you? No, I'm kidding. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you watching our channel, liking our video, subscribing. All those things help us tremendously. Just for some other interesting statistics from the year 2021, our videos had a combined viewership of 1.8 million views. We are up 14.8 thousand subscribers.
And I think we're coming up to like we're getting close to like 30,000 subscribers. I think we're at like almost, are we at 27? Getting close to 28 now.
I believe so.
Something
we're,
like
we're,
that.
We're rolling.
We're at 28.
We're at 28. Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I think we'll probably hit 40,000 in 2022, which is a good place to be.
Yeah.
And I thought what we would do for this year of review is just kind of start off going through, spend about a minute or two talking about each one of the episodes that we did during 2021 and maybe bring to light some ideas or people who missed some of those previous episodes. Maybe they'd like to go back and check them out if
yeah.
they missed it. And then we can talk a little bit about what's coming in 2022.
Yeah, if you're a new viewer, we understand that we do long form. We want to give people time to tell their stories. We want to get personal with them. And we understand that it's almost impossible to go back and
sure.
and watch all this content. We get it. So we'll give you sort of a brief summation.
A thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, and maybe there might be something that interests you.
So from our last New Year's message a year ago, I mean, well, so the previous episode we just, for this year's Christmas episode was with Mark Lee, that wonderful artist. That was a pre-recorded episode. Do you know what the pre-recorded episode we did for last Christmas was? It was Greg Corker. That, if time flies, doesn't it?
It does,
It doesn't feel like that long ago.
Yeah.
So Greg was kind of the last episode of 2020, and then our New Year's episode for 2021. And then the first episode for 2021 was a Canadian JTF-2 operator, Jeff DePazzi. That was a cool episode, man. And you don't get to hear from too many Canadian counterterrorism operators, you know, small but professional unit that
yeah.
they have.
And, you know, it's interesting because I remember, you know, first off, he was an amazing or is an amazing guy. It was a great interview. I remember a lot of people, not a lot of people, but, you know, people saying, oh, well, he's not talking about a lot of stuff. And understand that even getting these guys on the show sometime is an insurmountable task, which we surmount. But we understand, Jack and I both understand, that there are a lot of things that our guests can't talk about. And this isn't Hardball. It's the Team House. So a lot of times, when our guests come on, it's because somebody else has vouched for us saying, hey, like these guys are not, they're not going to try to get a gotcha question. They're not going to like stay on you about something.
It's professional.
That is classified.
It's at a professional level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we feel privileged that, you know, one, that you all watch, but two, that these guests do come on, they share their time with us, and we're just, you know, so we're not going to try to get somebody to open up about the inside truth of something. If,
well, I will, but if it's secret and they can't talk about it, then I get it. It's, you know, it's professional, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, on that note, Dave, I have grievances to air also about some of you fuckers in the comments section who start talking shit about our guests. Like, oh, they say, listen, buddy, listen, pal, in the comments section.
You're assuming their gender.
I don't give a fuck who they are. I don't give a shit what their gender is, you scumbag. We have people on this show, and I spend a lot of time getting people on this show who have never been interviewed before. Like, that's my thing, is I want unique interviews with unique guests, people who are not normally interviewed. So we're bringing you, like, exclusive interviews, like new stuff that you've never heard from before. And so we have people on here. They're not professional speakers. They're not public speakers. This isn't Jocko Willink's TED Talk, okay? And, yeah, what is it, D?
Just to jump on that. First off, the people that come on the show are extraordinary people.
Yeah.
So the scumbag commenter who's saying, this guy's saying, like, or whatever, you try going on a show live and talk about your achievements, which you have none. Like, try that on for size and see if you're not going to say, or, you know, say like or whatever, you know, strip up a little bit.
And I don't say that to rag on Jocko Willink. I mean, what I'm saying is he's a polished public speaker. He's good at what he does. We're having people on here who they're doing a sort of public speaking. They've never done it in their lives. So give these people a fucking break in the comments section. Get off their ass. And, like, if you don't like it and you're like, oh, there's too many ums and ahs, get the hell off of here and go watch TED Talks. Get out of here. Go away. I don't need you. You're fired. You're fired. Just go.
Okay. Use Team 20 for Manscaped, though.
That's my airing of the grievances about the comments section. So the next episode was episode 76 in 2021. We had Nick Brockhausen on the show.
Yeah.
Who is a huge character, an amazing guy. He served in MACV SOG in Vietnam and then went on to have all kinds of adventures as a security contractor after the war, working with Jeff Miller also.
Yeah. That was a fun show.
Nick is the author of a couple books about SOG, and also he co-authored a book with Jeff Miller, Vagabonds, which is about their time as security contractors. And yeah, so Nick is a very colorful character, so is Jeff, and you guys should go check out his books. They're both of their books if you haven't already. That was a fun one. The next episode we did, I really enjoyed this one, and I enjoyed his book, John Gardner. He served in the Australian SAS. The Rhodesian SAS, served in a sort of gray area as a South African intelligence guy, and then as a private security contractor. And his book is actually behind you, Dave. It's The Fading Light by John Gardner. I hope you guys will go check that out. John is a very interesting guy. And, I mean, that was a pretty extensive interview we did with him, so I hope you guys will check that out. Then the next episode, 78, was with Adam White, who served as a counterintelligence agent in the Army. And, I mean, that's like a sprawling interview about Iraq. I mean, we didn't even get to Afghanistan in that interview.
Yeah.
And actually, that's the one where me and Adam, Elon Musk'd it up, and you got to see your pal Jack smoking the reefer on a live stream.
Some Mary Jane.
Yeah, the devil's lettuce. I don't do that very often. I usually just get a drink more than I probably should.
Which, you know, here's a fascinating, and we know that, like, this video isn't going to get, like, quite the views that, you know, some of our other videos do, because it's just Jack and I bullshitting. So we're going to give you some inside scoop. One of our first guests, before the Team House was the Team House, before we really had a theme, one of our first guests was going to be Gary Busey. And, and that fell through, unfortunately. But But I was just, and I like, I'm making a comment about Gary Busey now, which I don't know is true. It just seemed funny at the time. I should caveat that. But as opposed to like smoking the reefer with Adam, we might have been doing lines of coke with Gary Busey. Who knows? Who knows? Actually, he probably is clean and sober. But
he is.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
Well, you remember, we went out and had coffee with him one night, and Gary is sober. He's still he's a huge personality, to say the least.
Yeah, he's quite a guy, honestly.
Yeah, he is. The next episode, 79. This was one that didn't get as many views because I think people didn't know what it was. I really hope you'll go back and take a look at it. Is we interviewed Kasper Damsø, who served in Denmark's Sirius Patrol, which is one of Denmark's special operations units. They have the Frogman Corps and the Jaeger Corps. But then the third one is Sirius Patrol. And these guys patrol Greenland largely on dog sleds. And it's just like two guys out there for months at a time. So that's like a really unique interview from someone you don't get to hear from so often.
I feel like there might be a couple others, but I feel like his is one of two interviews that are so underrated and I wish would get more exposure, not for our benefit, but for theirs. His and then Marty Peterson's. Mm-hmm. You know,
we'll get to Marty in a moment.
But those are two episodes where I'm like, I think people would really, really find this interesting.
I agree.
It doesn't have the sizzle of like SEAL Team 6 or Delta Force or CIA, but it is really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of a kind, really. Episode 80 was with Chris Hoare, who's the son of the legendary Congo mercenary Mad Mike Hoare. And talking all about his father and his life and various adventures all over Africa. That was a really fun interview. Again, didn't get as many views as probably it should have. So I hope you'll reconsider that one and go and take a look at that because it's really some off the wall stories there too. The next episode was the one you guys kept bugging me about. You wanted an RRD guy on the show. We got Mike Edwards, dude I served with in Ranger Battalion, and he went on to serve in RRD. He's a super good guy, and that one got a lot of views. I mean, people really were interested to hear from an RRD guy.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I mean, it's an interesting unit.
Yeah.
Mike's an interesting guy. That was a fun interview, and we had Mike back. Again, we'll talk about it in a sec. Episode 82 was with Lino Miani.
One thing about Mike, he teamed up with Adam to do Project Exodus. They have a...
Yes.
Organization that are trying to get our Afghan allies out of Afghanistan and stuff.
And I've been meaning to talk to them about that because I've been doing stories about that subject. I need to reconnect with them on that. Lino Miani, who's a special forces combat diver and officer, got to talk about some really unique missions and stuff that he did all around Asia and in Africa also. That was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Basil Baz, episode 83, old school ground branch guy. Dude's got some stories, and a few of them he was even willing to share with us.
And an actor now on The Blacklist and other, yeah.
So here's another episode that didn't get quite the attention that, in my opinion, it should have, because I don't think people understood what it was. Craig Gant. He was in the FBI's mobile surveillance team, MST. Like, those guys are, like, highly trained to conduct, like, counter-surveillance, counter-intelligence operations and do, like, some really sneaky Pete kind of stuff. And Craig was a great guy, too. I mean, just to talk to him, his time as an analyst as well was really cool. So I hope you guys will go back and check that out. That is episode 84. The next episode was with Wes Morgan talking about his book out about the U.S. military operations in the Peck Valley in Afghanistan. His book was The Hardest Place. That was a cool episode.
It was, yeah. So if you're really interested, you know, it's always fun to hear from operators and analysts and people who were in the thick of things. It's also really interesting sometimes to get these journalists on who have, you know, done this extensive amount of research to give a bird's eye view of what is going on in the area. And that was a fantastic interview.
Yeah, yeah. And Wes is just like super knowledgeable. You know, he's a subject matter expert on this thing, on this subject,
right,
and can really speak in depth to it. The next episode we did was with a guy I really admire, Chuck O'Connor, who was one of the original members of SEAL Team 6. He was their master breacher, and he still works training training units on breaching. And so we talked about his career and about problems with explosive breaching and how we can do it better,
right,
to reduce the traumatic brain injuries that guys are getting.
Yeah.
So Chuck was really cool. He's a really cool guy. Another really cool guy, episode 87, Danny Coulson. He was another like colorful character, and it was really fun. I mean, that
was a lot of fun. And I still have like nerdgasms because Agent Coulson from the Marvel universe, cinematic universe, is actually named after Danny Coulson.
And Danny is like a walking piece of history. He's the founder of the FBI's hostage rescue team. I mean, that guy had a lot of knowledge and a lot of stories to share.
Yeah, and his book was really fantastic. If you want to see like what it was like to be a G-man back in the day.
Dude, the story started off, he was working for J. Edgar Hoover chasing communists around.
Yeah.
Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had Danny on twice. And we had, so the one after Danny, episode 88, was with Dennis Franks, who was also an FBI agent. And we were talking about, you know, chasing around drug cartels and the Russian mob. That was a fun one. And then Bill Gage, who was in the Secret Service. And Bill definitely came on. He spilled the tea. He told some pretty fun stories about what goes on in the Secret Service. He wasn't there for the Columbia story. He missed out on all that fun, but there's still some cool stuff in that episode. The next one up, we interviewed Lindsay Moran, who is a CIA case officer, served in the Balkans. She's a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking to her. And that was a really fun interview to do. That was episode 90, if you guys want to check it out. Again, another colorful character. Mike Perry was episode 91.
He's quite the storyteller. Like,
yeah.
Very, very entertaining.
Special Forces officer, SIF team commander, did a lot of interesting stuff. So you can go check that out. And then we had Nick Brockhausen and Jeff Miller back on the show together to talk about their newer book, Vagabonds. And like before private security contracting really went corporate, it was much smaller, and these two guys were running around the 1980s and 1990s, like trying to drum up business and find different security contracts to do. And these guys were like running around Mexico. They got involved. Do you remember them telling the story about the Satanic Panic stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
And they got dragged into that. They were like recovering people in Chechnya. There's some insane stories. So yeah, that is a. What was the number of that episode? That was episode 92. I think that one's, it's a must watch, I think. The next one was Peter McAleese, who served in the British SAS, the Rhodesian SAS, 44 Pathfinder Company, and then was hired as a mercenary to assassinate Pablo Escobar. That's like another must watch episode if you guys haven't seen it. Peter's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were fortunate to have in studio Jessica Donati. She's a Wall Street Journal journalist who spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, and she wrote a book called Eagle Down about U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan. I really hope you guys will go and check that out. She's the shit. You should go check her, read her book, if nothing else. But the interview was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
Then the next episode, 95... we had another counterintelligence agent on the show. That was a fun one. And I hope you guys will check that out. We had some pretty cool stories in there about counterintelligence. Then we had Mike Edwards back on for round two. He had some more stories to tell. And actually, we were fortunate that like the whole family was in on that one. His wife was there. His daughter came in on the end. My daughter came on the show at the end. That was fun. And then we had for round two a friend of mine from 5th Special Forces Group, Caleb Phillips, to talk about his – that episode was specifically about his time in Special Forces. It was, it's always fun to talk to Caleb. He's like one of my best friends. Then again, another round two with Mark Polymeropoulos, who's a long-time CIA officer.
Mm-hmm.
Had him on. And again, another round two with Danny Colson to finish up talking about Waco and Ruby Ridge and like some really controversial stuff. Then our episode 100 Team House Party, by far the longest episode we did because we just turned the cameras on and started live streaming and just had pizza and drinks and friends of ours drifting in and out for like 5 hours.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I mean, for one.
It was fun.
I was like lit when we were done with that. I was lit.
Your girlfriend Maria was on.
Yeah.
Alana was back on. Ian Karushige popped in.
Yeah.
Ian Scotto came in for a while. It's going to be a little while still before the episode 200 party, but I look forward to it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I still haven't recovered from the one. Hopefully by then I'll be able to drink again. Well,
the funniest part about that at the end was our debate about Batman and whether he fellates or not.
Yes. Batman does go down south. He does. And then we had Chris Peranto on the show.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Doing the Battle Line podcast with my buddy Ian Scotto. So if you guys haven't, go check out Battle Line.
Yeah,
there's good stuff on there. Dave's on there. I'm on there. And others, I mean, you'll find something you like on there. And then we had Steve Silva, who served in DSS, the Diplomatic Security Service. Again, kind of a unique interview, and Steve had like a real depth and breadth of experience in DSS. So I hope you guys will go and check that out. And then episode 103, The Widow Spy with Marty Peterson. That was just like an incredible story about her journey from becoming a widow. Her husband, who served in SOG and then served as a CIA paramilitary in Laos, was killed. She decides to go and get some payback and joins the CIA herself, becomes a case officer, and is stationed in Moscow.
She is the first female case officer to work in the Soviet Union, behind the Iron Curtain. I honestly, in this day and age of, you know, like promoting women and women's empowerment, all these things, I cannot believe that she is not a household name. I cannot believe that these people with the power to promote, you know, this type of thing. Like, some of the women that they promote are like, why? I'm sorry, but why is Kim Kardashian more famous than Marty Peterson? Everybody should know her name.
There should be a mini series on HBO or Netflix with a big actress.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it should be a perfect 10 episode mini series, her story.
When you talk about powerful women, it's always these women in media, you know, or when they're honored or stuff like this. How could a woman like this go unrecognized? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, and I mean, Marty did the job in denied areas, running strategic assets. I mean, incredible stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Moscow in the 70s doesn't get hairier, right, for a CIA operative.
It's like the Super Bowl of espionage.
I would say, first off, for any of you who just want a really good story, read her book and listen to this episode. For any of you who have daughters who you are trying to find role models for or trying to encourage, if I had a daughter, you know, I would want her to watch this episode because it is, and I'm saying we have some great women on here who are great role models, but I feel like Marty was like a,
she stands
a,
out.
She was a groundbreaker, you know, she was the Gloria Steinem of the intelligence world. I don't mean, you know what I mean? Like she, she deserves to be known.
And, read her book also, The Widow Spy.
It's a phenomenal book.
Episode 104, we had Paul Howe on the show. I don't think the dude needs any introduction. Like, you know who he is. If you haven't seen the episode, go and watch it. I'm talking about his career in JSOC, service in Mogadishu during the Battle for the Black Sea in 1993. We also got to talk about Panama and his time down there during the invasion. Yeah, look, you know the deal. Go watch it. It's part of Special Operations history. Episode 105 was one of the more unique interviews we did. And I was really happy that we could have Jade Parker on the show, who what she did was unique. You don't get many interviews of people like this. She was basically doing counter ISIS operations online, going into these like chats and stuff.
She's a fascinating woman too, because because she just kind of got interested in this field and happened into it from a completely unrelated. She wasn't like government or intelligence or anything like that. She just like developed the talents to create this.
Right.
This like job opportunity
for and did herself. Some pretty badass stuff. Yeah. Targeting some real assholes.
Yeah.
And so she has some pretty great anecdotes and stories about targeting ISIS in the electronic domain, if you will. But yeah, she's one of the smartest people I know, and I hope people will check out her interview. And you should probably hassle her a little bit to start publishing and like writing books and stuff.
Yeah, her take with her accelerationism stuff is legit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Then we had Christina and Ryan Hillsberg on, a husband and wife CIA team. And that was one of the funnest interviews that we did in the last year.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff we cover, it's quite serious. And I'm glad that we're a serious channel and we cover some heavy topics. But talking to them, too, was just really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's sort of like how they met. You know, how they are both kind of checking each other out.
And work together in the agency. Yeah. That's cool. This was our biggest episode for 2021, talking to Tony Brooks about his book, Leave No Man Behind. He was one of the Rangers deployed to find Marcos Luttrell after Operation Red Wings went south.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great story, and Tony tells it very well. And obviously there's no shortage of public interest in this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising. I mean, I guess it's not surprising, but it is in a way kind of surprising, like how many people are absolutely fascinated by that story.
I think because the book did so well and the movie did so well, people know about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I don't mean to sound like salty or anything like that. I'm glad that people are paying attention to Tony and his book. It's just interesting what the public mind is kind of centers around and what it kind of doesn't really pay attention to. But nonetheless, I mean, I'm glad that people watched the interview and that Tony's getting the attention and that, you know, hopefully people are reading his book.
I think it's definitely good that there's another take on somebody else on the ground, like, you know, Rangers who
a different perspective.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was like a pretty gnarly story he had to tell about recovering the bodies of, you know, fallen SEALs and pilots. I mean, that's some tough stuff. Then we have up on, and not really an episode, it was a bonus episode that we made public just to show what we do for bonus episodes. We had my friend Chuck Rogers on the show, who is a fiction author. And always fun to talk to Chuck. And intersects with the military stuff the same way that our Mark Lee episode we just did does. So I hope people will go and check out Chuck Rogers. And he's one of my favorites, if not my favorite action-adventure author out there. So I hope you guys will check out his work. Then episode 108, Wes Bryant, who's a JTAC, served in the strike cells and wrote a whole book about strike cell operations fighting ISIS. And I'd highly recommend people check out that book because other than like Jade Parker and Wes Bryant, there haven't been too many public accounts about how we targeted and killed ISIS. Like, that story has not been written yet. Wes and Jade tell a part of it.
Yeah.
And so I hope you'll go and check that out. Because that's like contemporary, no-shit counterterrorism operations.
Yeah.
Like you said, living history. And then, again, this wasn't a formal episode of the Team House, but it was something that was topical, was happening at the time. We did an episode about the veterans who are scrambling to evacuate Afghan allies as the country collapsed and fell to the Taliban. It was actually Mick Mulroy who mentioned it to me and said, hey, we should do something about this. And I was like, well, we have this platform, the Team House. We cover these sorts of topics. This is happening right now in real time. So we had Mick Mulroy on. We had Mike Jason on to talk about that subject as it was happening. And I'm glad we did. I think it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
And I was glad that we could, in our own way, spread the word about what was going on. Episode 109, another must-watch, Jamie Caldwell, who is a former unit operator, must-see Team House episode. Like, go check it out, man. This guy was at Tora Bora. He was deployed to Iraq. I mean, Jamie's career is like, I don't. He's going to make fun of me for saying this. It's almost like something out of a video game to listen to some of his stories. It's like, really, man? But he got to do some incredible stuff in the military, and I hope you guys will go check it out. Episode 110, a very unique interview. A former FSB officer, Jan Newman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a unique interview right there, and I hope you guys will go check it out about how that dude joined the FSB, did FSB operations, sort of nebulous, kind of dark stuff that went on during his service there, and how he ultimately defected to the United States.
Yeah, yeah, that is a really fascinating view into a foreign intel service that has its own problems during a time when the country, you know, Russia was having problems. And it really kind of, it's very unique.
Terrific insights.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the whole story about how the CIA helped them defect to the United States.
Yeah.
CIA and FBI.
I got to go back and listen to that one because that was the one we were having some audio issues with. And I was just, I didn't even pay attention to the whole thing. I got to go back and listen to it.
Yeah. Check it out if you haven't. The next episode, I'd say this was our most controversial episode for 2021. We had David Phillips, the author of Alpha, about the Eddie Gallagher story. And people got big time butthurt about that episode. And I make no apologies for it.
I did. I like Jack and I kind of differed on this. Like I definitely feel as though there should have been more of a counterpoint, you know, because generally the people that we interview are like historians. This was more of an investigative journalist, and we like, I 100% like have faith that David Phillips did his work. But unfortunately, I did feel like, well, yeah, I can see like people's point of view, like people who maybe listen to both sides, because I really haven't. I haven't paid much attention and hadn't paid much attention to the Eddie Gallagher case. Like I knew the broad brush strokes. Mm-hmm. And I feel for myself, just me personally, that I could have gone in better prepared to be able to bring up some of the counterpoints that other people who are very familiar with the case would have brought up. So, so like when, you know, and this is just like Jack knows a lot more about these types of things in general.
I followed the whole thing.
Yeah, in general than I do.
Front to back, unfortunately.
But I felt, you know, generally when somebody comes on, either Jack or I will read the book.
I read it.
Yeah. And in this case, generally that works for us because we're talking about a person's personal story. So really only one of us really needs to have the roadmap, the book to follow and be familiar with. And then the other one, like we can fall in, you know, and ask the more, you know, in-depth questions outside of the broad outline. In this case, though, it was a very different type of story or different type of book. And I feel like looking back on it, I wish I had read the book in advance and then sort of, researched like what people's counterpoints were. But that's just how I feel about my own participation in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what counterpoints you would bring up necessarily. I think that, from my point of view, I mean, people talk about hearing out both sides, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of agree with that point of view. If Eddie Gallagher was somehow muzzled or silenced, mm-hmm. and wasn't allowed to say his piece, I would absolutely agree that, you know, we should air that side, mm-hmm. as well. But Eddie has done podcast after podcast. He's been on Fox News. He wrote a book. I mean, I think he's like buddies with President Trump. I mean, this guy has exposure. He has a platform. He has told his side of the story.
Sure.
Both sides are very much out there. And I think Eddie's side of the story has been told ad nauseum. there have not been very many opportunities to hear the point of view of the other SEALs in his platoon.
Right.
And I felt that's what our episode with David Phillips represented.
To me, that was something that was very interesting about it is in the comments. And if you guys go, you don't even have to watch the episode if you haven't seen it and you're not interested in it. But if you like, you know, internet drama, like the comment section is very spicy, and we haven't gone through and deleted people's comments and things like that. Like that's, we're not about that. But it's interesting how people, Jack and I are both huge supporters of a veteran, you know, of veteran, veterans in general, but you know, of charities and things like that. But it's interesting how some people were like, oh, you guys, yeah, you know, you won't even listen to a vet. Like, you're going to take a journalist over a vet. And it's sort of like, well, what about the other four vets who like, spoke out against him? Like,
did their voices count?
Like, which vets are we not listening to?
Or is it just the veterans you agree with?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there are definitely two sides to that story. And, you know, David did a ton of work, you know, and the other thing that was interesting to me was that he's done a lot of writing in the past before that. Like, he approached this book, he was actually on Eddie's side initially and thought that maybe it was post-traumatic stress, you know, thought that it might be these things because he had done a lot of work in the past to the benefit of veterans, you know.
Yeah, I actually know that for a fact because I remember interviewing him about some of the stuff he did about like DMT and stuff being used to treat PTSD and things.
Right, you know? And well, not only that, he had won a journalist award. I can't remember which one for some of the work that he had done on, I believe, Fort Carson soldiers. You know, getting them some justice.
But here's the deal. Again, I know it's a controversial episode, but I feel that from the perspective of you, the viewer, and with respect for your intelligence. You can read Eddie's book. You can read David's book. You can watch the interview we did with David. You can watch the many interviews out there that Eddie Gallagher has done. And you can come to your own conclusions. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm not trying to force feed you anything. This information is out there. And I think we should all look at it as adults and not have like emotional over-the-top reactions about it like happened in the comments section,
yeah.
As it often does. Like, this is information and you should take it and think about it and weigh it. And you come to your own conclusion. You should think about it and come to your own conclusion, which might be different than mine. And, you know, it's okay. We can disagree on some things.
For sure.
The next episode was with Bob Adolph, who we had on once before. This time we had him in studio, served in Special Forces, and then he served as the UN Chief of Security in Iraq and a few other places. And Bob was fun, man. I went out for drinks with him beforehand, and I wish some of that conversation could have been on air.
Yeah.
as these things happen sometimes. But I really enjoy the conversation with Bob. He's a very smart, articulate guy. It was a fun to have him here in studio.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a fascinating past.
Next one. This was a good get. I had to work him a little bit. Gene Yu. I was very happy to have Gene Yu on the show. A first Special Forces group officer. Served in the Philippines, served in South Korea, served in Iraq, and now he is the CEO of Black Panda, which is a security company specializing in cybersecurity now. And Gene has stories for days, and he's another one of those guys you can just sit down and listen to him talk for hours and hours. He's written 3 books about his military experiences, so like I said, he has a lot of stories. Go check that out. It's episode 113 with Gene Yu. Highly recommend that one.
Yeah. And it's funny, a side note about Gene is, you know, in your career or like there are urban legends everywhere, right? Like the people who bought a crocodile and let it loose in the sewers. And like there are like legends about different things everywhere. Nobody actually knows the origin. Well, there was a legend that Jack had known or sort of, you know, had heard of about pizza delivery in Sears School. And then it come to find out that
it was Gene.
It was Gene. Like it wasn't just an urban legend, but Gene was the person who, you know, accomplished that.
It takes a certain personality to just roll the dice. And I love that story where he's like, I could feel this spirit talking to me. Like my there's a fork in the road. My life was going in two directions. And the spirit was saying, what are you going to do, Gene?
Yeah.
I love that story. The next episode was, this was a great one, Ray McPadden, who served in 10th Mountain Division and 2nd Ranger Battalion, and talking about his memoir and his time in Afghanistan. He just had an incredible story. You read the book.
Yeah, it's it was a great book. We're talking about Ray right now, right?
Yeah, Ray McPadden.
Yeah. So it was, first off, Ray's an amazing guy.
Forest Ranger out at Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And he invited you and I to come out there and get the VIP tour.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking ahead. But yeah, it was a great book. It was a really
good book. He seems like a really good guy. Next episode up was with Mick Mulroy, a proper interview Team House episode with Mick. Who served as a CIA paramilitary operations officer. And I think it was good to hear, him be able to come on and talk publicly about, like, hey, this is what a PMOO does. This is what a, ground branch guy does. This is what the job is. And really, like, shed some light on there. It doesn't have to be something. Obviously, we've had a lot of CIA people on here, and any intelligence service has its secrets. But there's some good, healthy public engagement, right, taking place there.
Yeah, and I think, Mick is, he is one of the first, I think, modern, paramilitary operations officers, who has been able to speak so freely. And obviously everything that he talked about has been cleared by the Publication Review Board and everything. But it's really rare these days to, everything is so tight hold for so long. Like, we're having guys on who were, paramilitary a long time ago, or maybe up recent, but they can't talk about more recent stuff. So it was really nice, getting mixed insights into how, special activities went from very small to just kind of blowing up mm-hmm. after 9/11,
Then we had episode 116, Luis Fernandez. That was a really fun one. He was in the 82nd Airborne, served in Afghanistan.
He's a great storyteller. He's a lot of fun. Yeah.
That was a great episode, and we're glad that between Ray and 10th Mountain and Luis in 82nd, we're able to have some conventional guys on to tell their story, which is often different than the sort normal special ops narrative or story to tell a different side of the conflict, right?
And that's one of the things I think is very interesting is, special operations is very sexy in the minds of Americans. And, all movies are made about, special operations forces, the commando and whatnot. To hear the conventional guys, guys in the 10th Mountain, guys in the 82nd, and what they were doing, because the special operations model in Afghanistan and Iraq was typically push out for a raid, a nighttime raid, maybe go back, reset, push out again, and then be back, at the FOB or whatever, to sleep during the day or do some training during the day or whatever. But it was sort of more like a SWAT team, a wartime SWAT team type thing where you're getting called out, where these conventional units were like your beat cops who are out there all the time, but in very, very hostile environments where they were constantly undermanned, undersupplied, and under fire, And
it's a hard grind out there.
Their stories honestly need to be told a lot more, because I would say that even though the special operations mission seems sexier, the conventional...
The infantry is the army.
The infantry is the army. And they were actually in far more knocked down, drag out, day after day engagements than... Mm-hmm. Special operations has the luxury of choosing their time.
Black helicopters their, in the night.
You know, yeah. You know, they're not sort of being put out there as bait, you know, engaged by, you know, recon by fire type thing.
Movement to contact.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're doing it for 16 months. Remember Ray
for
said?
For 16 that's months.
That's insane.
Yeah, crazy.
With very, like, very little support. That was, because Ray talked about that. And actually, you know, it was, you know, about how they're just out there with almost no support at all, you know.
Episode 117, we had another Ranger on, Ross Ritchell, talking about being deployed to Baghdad and doing ops in Sadr City. And he wrote a novel called The Knife, I believe, if I recall correctly. And Ross had a great story. And we're also able to talk about, like, the transition to civilian life and PTSD and kind of have, I think, a healthy conversation about those topics.
Yeah, and we've been fortunate to have that conversation with a few people. And I know that people have reached out to us, you know, veterans who have been struggling with post-traumatic stress, but either have not wanted to acknowledge it or didn't realize it or... you know, we're worried about the stigma of coming forward with it. And actually hearing people on our show and how they've kind of dealt with it, you know, from all types of units,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've said, hey, like watching your shows actually helped me come to the decision to seek help for this.
That's cool. Episode 118, dare I say one of my favorites, actually, we had Douglas London on the show who served in the CIA for 34 years. And, like, Doug did not hold back. He was not holding back, folks.
He spilled some tea.
Yeah.
Or sipped some tea. What is it?
Spilled.
It is spilled. Okay.
Yeah. Told it like it is. Just some really incredible stories. Did not shy away from criticism of his former employer either. I mean, he had some things to get off his chest, and I thought it was a terrific interview. I really enjoyed talking to him. And then again, you know, this episode didn't get the attention it should have either. Was Matthew Chaps Cothran, who was a Marine canine handler, and he is the host of Zero Blog 30 on Barstool Sports. I actually talked to him yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did a short interview with him because he was getting fucked over by the VA, and he threatened them in the sense he said, I'm going to record this review interview you're doing on my VA disabilities, and I'm going to play it on our show. And within like 2 hours, they reversed everything. They're like, you're on permanent disability. Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's what we need to do. We need to shame the VA for like.
And he was like, you know, he was like, imagine the people who don't have that kind of platform and they can't do that.
Right.
You know, old people, destitute veterans.
Right.
People who are not very tech savvy.
Yeah, they're just fucked.
Trying to navigate the Veterans Affairs system. And yeah, they're fucked. And so, you know, Chaps, as he goes by Uncle Chaps on the show. He's very passionate about trying to help other veterans with that kind of stuff.
And that is such a fun episode. He is mm-hmm. such a great storyteller. He is so entertaining. Like if you're commuting to work or whatever, and you're just stressed, if you need to get away from the wife or get away from the husband or the kids or whatever, he and Louis Fernandez are like
both fun.
They're both like so entertaining to listen to. They're a great time.
And Chaps was no joke either. I mean, he was a canine handler in Fallujah. He took a round through the arm, struggled to transition back afterwards, and assaulted a police officer while he was drunk, ended up in jail. He did a couple months in jail.
Yeah, I don't remember the time. And I mean, fortunately, like...
fucked up his life pretty bad, and he had to turn everything around.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't an easy journey for him. Yeah. So
you guys can also check out Jack on Zero Block 30.
Yeah.
He did an interview. Jack was on Zero Block 30 recently.
Yeah, and check Chaps out on his. You know, we have friends in this community that... you know, we don't feel like it's not competition because people who, you know, love this kind of stuff, it's not, you know, that there are great people. You know, Chaps is one. Check him out. Check out Ian and Chris
Battle Line.
Check out Ryan Fugit on Combat Story. Like, there are some other phenomenal people in this space.
Yeah.
And we all have a different style. And, you know, just don't leave us, please. But we don't. but we don't mind.
If you guys had to choose, choose us, obviously.
We're polyamorous when it comes to our relationship with you, as we just don't want to lose you.
No. I try to have, and I hope we always have good relationships with those people who are sort of adjacent to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it benefits the viewers at the end of the day, because you and I, indeed, we can't cover it all.
No.
It's impossible.
Right.
So it's really good that, like, Ryan is out there, that Ian is out there, right, and that they're doing similar things.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next episode was Sean Nalar, a pretty prolific national security journalist, covered tons of special operations stuff, did a lot of stuff on Afghanistan. He wrote Relentless Strike, the history of JSOC. We did 3 hours with Sean and still didn't get to everything. We're having him back on the show next year. I'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about what's coming in 2022. But we're going to do a second episode with Nalar for sure.
You know, and
there's also, like, going back to Ray's story. Ray, we did an hour bonus show with him
about Iraq
on Patreon. So
yeah,
when he was in
there's Rangers. There's some baller stuff on Patreon.
Yeah,
bonus content for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, and you know,
I was sifting through the Patreon. Sorry,
no, please.
And Mike Vining's Patreon episode is, like, insane. It's about, like, when they tagged up with HRT and, like, Posse Comitatus was issued and stuff
in Georgia,
yeah,
for the Georgia prison riot.
Oh yeah, I mean,
that's on Patreon, and it's like a 40-minute.
There's, you know, George Hand talking about locking out of subs.
Javier Mackey and the monkey
story. Yeah,
yeah, like there are some, because sometimes when people, like, when our guests know they're behind a paywall, and that the people who, you know,
it's a more limited audience
who are into us and into the content, they feel a little more free to talk about things that you know, they may not want just out there in the public.
So, yeah, I mean, there are literally, at this point, there's got to be like days worth of bonus segments with all kinds of fascinating people. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty good deal for the Patreon supporters. Then we had another journalist on, Toby Harnden, who wrote First Casualty, about the first CIA team into Afghanistan. And you read that book.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And he had unprecedented access to the people, to, you know, the first CIA team into Afghanistan. You know, the agency, they didn't bless off on it, but they were aware of what was going on. They didn't put the kibosh on him. And he was allowed to interview some of these people with an agency lawyer sitting in the room, you know, just to make sure that everything was copacetic. But they gave him a lot of, not they gave him, but they didn't restrict him from having this access. And it's an amazing read.
It was a great interview.
Yeah.
Some stories that I'd never heard before. So I hope people will go and check out his book. And then we had Caroline, episode 122. It's another pretty unique interview. She started off in the Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And then became a CIA analyst. And she was, what did they call it? Advanced analytics?
I think so. Yeah.
So she was doing like the meta analytics at one point, like big data, stuff for the CIA. And I mean, that's like something I'd love to know more about, like, but probably I'm not allowed to know anything about what's going on up there. But Caroline was really cool, and she wrote a book called Fairly Smooth Operator, which is out now if you guys want to check it out. The episode is 122 if you want to watch her interview. Then the big crossover event with another YouTube channel, Combat Story, Ryan Fugit, we had him on the show talking about his service. He served as an Apache pilot, did stuff in Afghanistan, some pretty hairy missions, and then transitioned over and worked for the CIA. And now he runs the YouTube channel Combat Story, and I've been interviewed by him. Dave has been interviewed by him. So like, yeah, if you like the Team House, you'll like Combat Story. There's a lot of like crossover appeal.
And there. Ryan is really just a fantastic human being, and he's very polished, you know, in the way he interviews. Like he's very insightful, very perceptive. He asks great questions. Like you'd love his episode on here. He's a very fascinating person. And two, you would love his podcast.
Yeah.
I can guarantee. Mm-hmm.
And then we had in studio Ken Gaudette, who served in the 173rd in Vietnam, then in the Rhodesian Light Infantry, where he did some combat jumps, then with in 44 Pathfinder Company in South Africa, served under Peter McAleese.
Yeah.
Again, some crossover appeal here.
Yeah.
And he continues to this day work as a private investigator. Ken is another interesting, very colorful, interesting guy who you could probably listen to tell stories all day.
Yeah.
And yeah, we talked to him for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Hearing some of these stories.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And then we had our interview with James Lawler, or Jim, he goes by, episode 125. Who served as a CIA operations officer for many years.
That was just last night. Well, last night
for us,
you know,
for you guys a few weeks ago.
In the future, yeah.
That, again, one of my favorite episodes, I think, because his stories were just, like, so wild and very insightful. And listening to, like, he was a hardcore case officer.
He was, like, it was a fun interview, and he is a fascinating human being.
He's, like a very, like, I sense, like, a suit and tie sort of case officer, but, like, that's the kind of guy you want at the CIA.
Yeah.
Like, he developed dudes for, like, a decade before he recruited them as a source in one or two cases he was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, that's some gangster stuff right there.
Yeah.
That's like a plotter, a thinker. That's a guy who's playing chess.
Yeah.
You know, over a long period of time.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. And, you know, I just actually thought of something. First off, watch his episode. You'll love it. We talked about Jack being interviewed on Combat Stories. Jack was interviewed like a year ago, maybe?
Something like that.
And we actually just posted that on our channel. So if you haven't checked that out, either check it out on our channel or Combat Stories. You know, whoever you want to give those advertising dollars to. But check it out. And I just realized we're recording this on, what's today? 12/18. You guys are watching this on 12/31. Please, in the comments, put the winning lottery numbers from the last week. I'm not sure if this is how time travel works. But
it's worth a shot.
Yeah. It.
The only time I've ever experienced the time travel is when I drink too much during the show.
Yeah.
And then, like, I wake up the next morning like, whoa, what the fuck?
Or 3 days later.
Yeah. Rip Van Winkle.
Yeah.
I think
Andy Milburn's episode was like that. Yeah.
And then the last episode for 2021 was Mark Lee, who's my my friend who did the covers for my novels. He served in the Singaporean military and is a really prolific artist who does a lot of military-themed artwork.
His art is fantastic. And just so you guys know, there's a little bit of a nerd alert here.
Very little
of the interview was about the military and his time in the Singaporean military. Like, we went full on. We geeked out majorly. So we know for a lot of you that's not your cup of tea, but some of you are going to fuck. I think you're going
to
love it.
It was, it was intended to be a fun, relaxing Christmas special.
Yeah.
So a little bit off kilter for what we normally do, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fun. And that's 2021. I mean, we covered a hell of a lot of ground in the last year, I think.
It's been amazing. You guys are amazing. Our guests have been amazing. Every time we sit in front of these guests, I feel so blessed that they have, first off, chosen to take a Friday night,
mm-hmm.
you know, to spend 2 or 3 hours with us, and open themselves up to criticism in the comments, like this person says a lot. Like, you know, for somebody who is not a celebrity or used to public exposure, it's kind of a big risk to go on a live. We're recorded live. Nobody else out there.
And if I say any one thing that's just a little wrong, that you're going to have all these people ragging on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I'll just tell you guys, like, kiss my ass. But, like, some people, like, normal people actually, like, do they really want to subject themselves to all that?
That's what I was
going to
say. Normal people. Jack is obviously not normal.
I'm a mutant. And my skin is a mile thick. But yeah, the average, like, regular person, even like somebody who's a veteran.
You should moisturize. That'd probably solve that.
Oh, I do have the beard oil.
Yeah.
You know, which I use. But yeah.
Oh, that was a great. They're not paying us to do this right now, but check out Household Soap number 5.
Oh, yeah.
That they're a great company. Like, I don't know if they're even paying us anymore to advertise for them, but like, they have some really nice products.
Small veteran-owned company. The guy makes his own soap. It's awesome.
And the beard oil. Good soap. I use the beard oil to this day.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So that was 2021 year in review. The web or the channel grew and the podcast grew in leaps and bounds. I think some terrific guests. The technical quality of the show, the audio, the video, overall production quality really improved thanks to D. Brought in a lot of sponsors, which helps the channel grow, it's also obviously.
Thanks to D. D's a hustler.
Yep, that's thanks to D.
Truffle pig.
So let's talk a little bit about 2022. What's coming in the future? What we hope to do with the channel this coming year? And we have guests scheduled out, you know, near term. If you guys want, I'll talk about who we have, the guests we have coming up over the next couple months. Do it. January, we have somebody who served in the Secret Service and U.S. Special Forces. We have a Dev Group Squadron Commander coming on. We have, actually, you can see his book right behind Dave. Mark Giaconia served in 10th Special Forces Group. We're going to have him on. Gotcha, yeah. Andrew Milburn is going to be back on the show in studio. Actually, I have to talk to you about that, Dave. We might have to, instead of Friday night, it might be Saturday night.
Okay. If we can. I just, whatever it is, I just need to take, like, what is it? The thing that's like the liver detox? I got to prep for that
it's
one,
like,
man.
It's like a porn star doing anal.
We might have to.
It's exactly what it's like.
So we'll lock in the date beforehand, but we'll talk
exactly
about that.
Exactly what it's like.
February, Sean Nalar's coming back. I have somebody coming on who served as an Australian diplomat, had a lot of crossover with their intelligence and special ops guys. That's going to be a pretty unique one. We have a guy from the Chilean Special Operations Forces coming on.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
And then we have, I think I'd spent quite a while trying to track this guy down, Koos Stadler, who served in the South African Recce. This is a super cool book. If you guys haven't read it, go out and get Recce. This is a super cool book. Now, we're going to have him on the show. And then March, Rick Prado. He has a book coming out, CIA, legendary CIA officer. We're going to have him on the show. And then we're going to have the first U.S. Special Forces soldier in Afghanistan. It's going to be on the team house. And then we have a CST. We haven't had a CST on the show yet, the cultural support teams, which they're defunct now, but it was an endeavor to take women, put them onto and integrate them into special operations teams deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I've talked to one young lady. She is super cool.
Awesome.
She's super cool.
Awesome.
And we're going to have her on the show in March.
Yeah, that'll be good.
And that's kind of what I have scheduled out. Actually, well, this is way in advance. In July, Jim Morris, my buddy who served in Special Forces in Vietnam and then wrote for Bob Brown for Soldier of Fortune magazine. Jim Morris wrote a new book about his military experiences, but also about how he used hallucinogenics after the war to broaden his horizons and recover from PTSD.
Yeah.
It's called The Dreaming Circus, if you guys want to go and pre-order the book. I think it's his best work yet. Jim's a terrific guy, a really interesting guy. But that's way in the future. That's coming out this summer.
Yeah. So that is our 2021 year in review. You know, by the time we see you guys next time, we'll all be another year older.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other things cooking behind the scenes, like the whiskey is formulating a team house whiskey.
D's been hard at work on that.
Yeah, maybe some team house cigars. Who knows?
We're going to try to take our merch a little more seriously.
Yeah.
We have merch. There's a link down in the description. You can get like some coffee mugs and some hoodies and t-shirts and stuff like that. But we're thinking of like maybe working with Mark Lee to have him do up some like actual quality designs and put that on our merch store.
Also, we're working a little bit on the giraffe logo.
That's
getting
cool.
There. Yeah.
There are some, I guess, like higher level guests that I'm going to work on. I mean, I hate to use this term like higher level. I guess like big names, but sometimes the small names are the ones that are more important to me, and I get kind of like stars in my eyes about. But I got some work to do on my end. One of the things I would like to do in 2022, as it becomes financially viable for us as the channel grows, is we do a lot of remote interviews. We'd like to do more in studio interviews. That's part of it. But when we have to do remote interviews, I would like to FedEx the guests USB mics and cameras to improve the audio and visual quality. You know, we have like a lot of expensive gear here in our studio, but if we're doing a remote interview with a guest, we're kind of constrained by whatever the technical restraints are that they have.
Right.
And if they're on an old shitty laptop, that kind of is what it is. Right. And there's only so much we can do about that. What will help mitigate that is actually like FedExing them a camera and a mic.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's important that people understand that we do these live 99% of the time. So we can't go back and take out the audio.
Right.
It's live. Like, right. So it's, that's another layer.
Yeah, we don't have the advantage of post-production.
Right.
And
we're really the only ones that do what we do in a sense.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's anyone else that does these sorts of interviews live.
Live? No shot. People are, no way. No way. We're on a tightrope here.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, the decision to do these episodes live is completely insane. It was ridiculous that I ever did it like that. But now I can't, like, I'm kind of like addicted to it. I love it, and I can't imagine like going back and doing a pre-production in a highly produced show just sounds so boring to me. And I like the audience participation too. Not you scumbags in the comments making fun of us. But
you make fun of us all day long.
But
our guests, like,
I do enjoy the audience participation when they have questions for the guests, and you kind of have that back and forth. I do enjoy that type of conversation.
I think doing it live is amazing.
Yeah, but otherwise, in 2022, you know, we just hope to continue to increase the production quality, to get some really good, interesting guests in here. I think we had a really good spread of people in 2021. I'd like to continue that. I have kind of it's a niche regardless. Like, this channel is sort of like an inside baseball kind of channel at the end of the day, which limits our reach and our scope, I suppose. But at the same time, I feel like we have a pretty good selection. Like, we have somebody from Secret Service, somebody from DSS, a couple FBI, and then a lot of CIA, a lot of Special Forces, a lot of Rangers, you know, and I hope to have like a good mix going into
you guys are Army sluts.
Yeah, well, we're not really a SEAL channel. We're kind of SEAL skeptical, you could say.
We're having a DevGru commander.
We are. We had Jeff on, who's a super good guy.
Yeah.
Who is a SEAL, and Chuck, another super good guy.
Jack, you're also kind of working on some other SEALs that haven't been on a bunch of shows.
I'm all about that, having people who are not normally interviewed. And, I don't mean to sound
That's just hard to do with SEALs.
I don't want to say anything.
I don't mean to seem too salty, but my perspective is that the SEALs have a very strong platform. And there are a ton of SEAL podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't really need the Team House to like try to replicate that and like get those same people on and re-interview them. I feel like, listen, those guys, there are a lot of SEALs out there, and they're being interviewed, and that's awesome and good for them. And some of those channels are really cool. The Team House is like different, and we're trying to do something different, and we're having different types of people on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the SEALs have a platform. It's not like we're not depriving them of anything by focusing more on the lesser-known people.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree with all that.
So, guys, let us know in the description.
I want to embarrass Dave a little bit.
Go for it.
Because he said it on the Combat Story. We did it on a Patreon when he first got his award, but you did get the ODNI award.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to make it public to everybody on the Team House just to get you a little Well,
fortunately, this video is only getting like 3,000 views, and the people who are seeing this will probably have already like watched it. But yeah, I got an OD.
Dave's a badass motherfucker.
Dave got the award a long time ago, but it was declassified, so now like you couldn't talk about it until very recently.
Yeah, this last year. Yeah.
Yeah, for mixing it up with some bad actors over in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some good stuff though, yeah. And no, it's pretty cool.
No, thanks.
I hope that you know you guys will let us know what you'd like to see from the Team House. You guys recommend guests to us a lot, and sometimes they really pan out. Like Marty Peterson was somebody in the comments or something was like, you should interview Marty Peterson. She's a hero. I was like, who's that? And I went and looked her up and read her book. I was like, hell yeah, we need to have this person on. Yeah. So I'm open to recommendations. Let us know. Let us know what you would like to see from the channel going forward, and we take it under advisement, and we think about it and bat around ideas.
Yeah, yeah. No, we definitely love your recommendations because you know you guys obviously you've heard of people who we haven't. Like we have a lot of contacts within sort of the modern, and Jack obviously is very well read in this area and knows a lot of these people from. Rhodesia and South Africa and whatnot in Vietnam, but there are still like a lot of great resources out there that we don't know. There's so many books, and then there are people who don't have books who are just,
but
they have a great story.
But again, full disclosure, I think I've kind of like enlightened people to my philosophy a little bit in the show, but. Like, if you recommend somebody who's, like, a big-time celebrity dude or something like that, like, I'm probably not going to schedule them because they've been interviewed 100 times already.
Yeah, we just don't want to – obviously – so this is where our acumen as savvy businessmen fails us, because obviously there are names out there that if we had on the show, all our numbers – you can go through our videos and see which videos have the highest views by far. And anybody who knows anything about YouTube or podcasts knows the more views you have, the more monetization you have. So there's definitely a formula to making a lot of money in this industry. But we want to tell stories. We want people, we don't just want the people that are going to get 40,000-50,000 views. Like some of them, we want them too, but we want to have the people who might only get 5,000 or 10,000 views, but they're a story that you're not going to hear anywhere else because they're not making a lot of money through the
Jamie Caldwell, right? Unit guy. You knew it would do well, but Jamie's not a guy who's on a ton of podcasts and stuff like that. Not even talking, like he's on podcasts talking about like fishing and stuff because he's a former fisherman. But like a story about his career, he doesn't really, there aren't many at all any podcasts with him out there. So like that's a get. Like that's a Paul Howe. Get like those are awesome.
Right.
We can get guys who are on every podcast, but I like that we don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, me too. And I think we had the conversation a long time ago, Dave. We're talking about how like if we tried to like just make it commercial and follow the template, like the YouTube template of like this is how you grow a channel and get successful, this would just become like another job for us.
Right.
And it would get to the point where like we just kind of dread coming in here and doing this.
Right.
Like,
in our brand new Mercedes. we would hate that drive.
I mean, yeah, you would have, you know, some money or whatever. Maybe it would be more successful, but it wouldn't be fun anymore.
Right.
You know, and right. I think that would be a problem for all of us.
Yeah. And that's one of the joys about this, about the long form and about this is every time we have a guest on, it's such a delight, you know, because this person is letting us into their life. You know, this person is opening up on basically live TV, essentially live TV for anybody to watch, for anybody to judge. And like they're sharing a part of themselves with us, not just their story about a firefight, which that's all good and well. You know, I mean, I'm not taking anything, like, we want to hear those too. Some of the those stories that we've heard on here have been amazing and, you know, and hair raising. But just even the more simple moments, you know, was it Sarah Carlson who like took her archery set to Libya?
Yes.
Right? Like
Sarah was great.
Yeah. Like that's such an interesting thing that, you know, really humanizes the people in these organizations that seem so impersonal.
I loved her book. That's going way further back. She was cool. I loved her book. And in our interview with Sarah, she was fun. Yeah, man. I mean, it's been an interesting journey, and I'm looking forward to 2022 and seeing what we can do next to grow the channel.
I think you mentioned, like, the goal is to get to, thinking around four. I think if we could double our viewership by next year, that's a home run. And it can become, quote-unquote, a full-time job or whatever. You know, we can get Jack off the street.
Oh, I'm getting a mink coat.
Oh, yeah, we need first.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that day. Until then, Happy New Year's, everybody. And we will see you next Friday. We'll be live again with Steve Stratton, who served in the Secret Service and Special Forces.
Oh, next Friday? Oh, next Friday. Again, lottery numbers, yeah. People. I forgot that this
time
is
traveling.
In the future.
Yeah. Time traveling. All right, guys. See you next time.